Welcome back to our course today. We are in the process of talking about different models of church planting in terms of not only reproducing churches, but we'll get into talking about reaching entire regions. And we were talking about church reproduction, how an existing church would go about planting other churches by creating daughter churches. We talked about the multi-site concept where those daughter churches would not become autonomous churches, but they would remain under the leadership and with the central philosophy of the founding church. And we're going to move along and talk about what I call the adopted daughter church plant. And that is where an existing church is approached by another group of people. In other words, there's another group that were not necessarily members of the mother church. Maybe they had come to faith in Christ, they were a little small Bible group or a home group, and they say, we want to become a fuller church ministry, and they approach an existing church and say, will you help us? And so that existing church, which is presumably stronger, says, we will help you plant and become a church. And so they sort of adopt this group and help them plant that church. And so that's why we call this an adoptive approach. And this has been done many times. One of the advantages to that is usually this group of believers who say, we want to become a church, they're highly motivated. They own it. They have the vision for it. And so that's always a good starting point when you want to start a church in a community. There are people who already live there. They didn't have to be transplanted there. And so this has proven to be a great way to also plant churches. And some denominations are approached regularly by groups like this. I think of one situation in Hungary where there had been a concerts done in a number of towns outside of Budapest, and a number of people had received Bibles and through this concert had become believers in this town, but there was really no church there to help them grow, and so they approached a church in the city and said, will you help us plant a church here so we can have a church to care for our spiritual needs and to help reach our community. So this is something that also happens fairly often. Then we have what I call the multiple mother or partnership church plant. There was a British story here about two mothers and the implanted egg. And the white mother was actually the egg from the black mother. And so this child ended up having two mothers, so to speak. Sort of an interesting ethical dilemma they made a drama out of. Well, what do I mean by a multi-mother a church plant? Well, what I mean by that is that you have two existing churches, and both of those churches give members to start a third church. So there's two churches contributing members, so in that sense, there's two mothers. And just a couple simple examples of this. I'll give examples from Germany that I'm familiar with. The church in Bonn, for example, the former capital, and there was a church in Cologne. And they've contributed members that both lived in the town of Ports. The Cologne church had two home groups that met there. The Bonn church actually had three home groups that met in that community. And so they combined, they had six home groups, which is a pretty good group of people to start a new church. And so this new church in Ports had two mother churches. And so one of the advantages to this, of course, is you've got more your core group starting. This is probably going to be a little larger. And you have two mother churches contributing. So you have more resources able to contribute. Another example is this is where I was involved, where there was a central Munich church. This was the larger, older church. And then that had actually started the church in North Munich, where I went to be the church planter, which then both these churches in Dachau County had home groups. The central Munich church had a group. The North Munich church had a group. And then those two groups combined to become a church in that part of the outlying area of Munich. Now, one of the things you need to be aware of when you do this approach is that these two groups, they may be very different. In this particular case, the one group that came from central Munich had been in existence for many years. They had lived there and just commuted into the city. They were mostly believers who'd been believers for quite some time. So you had some spiritual maturity. On the other hand, the other group that was related to North Munich, that group was mostly newer believers. And they were in a very different place in their faith. They were much more evangelistically oriented. And those two groups, they had to really grow together to have a common vision. And so you do need to make sure that it's not automatic that these two or three groups are just going to come together and have a strong unity. You need to work on the unity. Another thing to keep in mind in this is that the responsibility of the mother churches are clear. Is one of these mother churches more responsible to give guidance than the other? In the case with Munich, the North Munich church was geographically a little closer, and so the pastor of the North Munich church took more responsibility in giving guidance to that church in Dachau County, which became the Markt Indersdorf church. And so there was a clear delineation of the authority and who was responsible for what. What can sometimes happen is both mother churches assume that the other church is going to give the help, and then there's no help at all. So you need the two mother churches need to also be coordinating on how they're going to help promote that. So this is a great idea, too, if these mother churches are smaller churches. Sometimes a smaller church says, well, we can't start a daughter church. You know, we don't have that many members. If we give up too many members, we'll be too small. That'll be difficult. But if you've got two churches, sometimes then they can give a smaller number of members. It doesn't weaken the two mother churches so much, but it does create a strong enough core to start that new church. So this is sort of the idea of the multi-mother church plant. Another idea is the focus group church plant, or a multi-congregation. And what I mean by this is, there may be an existing church and there's another ethnic group or there's a subculture that is not being reached by that church. So let's say we've got sort of a punker subculture or we've got an ethnic group of immigrant Koreans or Chinese. In our church in Munich, we had a Korean group that met. Now that was Korean language. They were really geared to reaching Koreans. Their leadership style was Korean. Their worship was Korean, very different from German worship and the German style of leadership. And so they were very focused on reaching the Korean community. In the North Munich church, we had a Chinese group that was meeting in our rooms, and they were reaching out to Mandarin-speaking students largely that were in Munich. And so what you're doing is, within the same church, you're not necessarily starting another church in another community. You're starting another congregation within the framework of the mother church. And so that's a great way to reach some of these pockets of the population that just aren't being reached by the existing church. Now, again, you have to go about this in a way that's thoughtful. You may need to have somebody who speaks this other language. And if that's a particular subgroup, they may speak the same language, but they have their own way of speaking their language. You're going to have some discussion about how the rooms are used. Will there be a common leadership elder board for both congregations? Or will the one congregation be subordinated to the other congregation? So you have to coordinate how the leadership of these two congregations, how the building is going to be used, what time does what group use the building, and is there going to be conflicts there? So usually you have to work out a lot of these things. And the mother church who's starting this new congregation really has to have a lot of understanding for some of the cultural differences that this new congregation may have. It may be that they're louder, their music is louder, and the way they do worship. It may be that the way they raise their children, they're more loose about their children running through the building and slamming doors. And very often the ethnic churches love to get together and cook. And I remember in Munich when the Koreans would get together, they would always have meals. That was just part of what they always did. And they cooked with certain spices that on Sunday night when they cooked, well, Tuesday you could still smell the spices in the building. And so these are some of the things that, you know, you're going to have to adjust to. But the mother church says, look, we are committed to reaching people for Jesus. And, you know, if that's what it takes, we will be willing to adapt and flex with some of those new situations. So that's sort of the idea of having a special focus group that you're attempting to reach. And then there's the house church network. And we've already talked a little bit about the house church network. But the idea here is really, it's a much more sort of spontaneous way that you might have one. Typically, this would be a house church that's been started. The people in this house church, very often just through their relational network. So let's say somebody's in the city and he becomes a Christian. He's attending this house church and he has relatives. His family's in this village over here. And so he goes home and he shares Christ with his family there. And before you know it, he leads some people to Christ. They start a little home group there and they start a house church. Well, and then somebody from here, they have a work colleague in this part of town. They share the faith with some people there. And so really it's sort of a natural, spontaneous spreading. It's not highly planned. It's not highly organized. But again, these are house churches. They're not highly structured. And so anybody who can basically share their faith and start discipling people can start sort of one of these little small house churches. And so this is very common sort of thing that would be happening in India or in China, where we hear about these large house church movements. And so a lot of what I've been describing here is highly structured, where there's a lot of planning involved. You have larger numbers of people that are involved. This is something much more grassroots, involves much less planning, much more spontaneous. Well, and then there's the one we don't want to talk about, and that is what I call unplanned parenthood. That is the unexpected church plant. Why? Because the church split. Now, there are certain parts of the world that we remain unnamed, but where churches have a habit of splitting often. And there's different reasons why churches split. Most of the reasons tend to be personality reasons. Sometimes they're doctrinal. Sometimes they're style issues or philosophy of ministry. But for whatever reason, it happens often enough that there's a group in an existing church that they feel they want to do ministry differently. They want to emphasize something else, and they end up splitting off. Sometimes this happens because the existing leadership doesn't want new leaders to ascend into leadership. Maybe there's a very strong pastor, and that pastor wants to make sure everything is under his authority, and there's an emerging leader in that church coming up, and here's what can kind of happen. So we've got a strongly hierarchically structured church, and we've got the pastor up here who is very much in authority over the life of the church. And what happens is you've got perhaps a younger leader who is sort of emerging in his leadership abilities. And people are looking to that person saying, wow, that person is gifted, that person inspires me. And this person gets a little bit of a following in the church. Now, what can happen is this pastor feels threatened. He sees somebody coming up who's threatening his leadership. People are looking to this person now. And so what can happen is that pastor tries to sort of keep this new person in their place, that they don't ascend in their leadership in the church. Guess what usually is going to happen? This guy says, okay, if you don't let me be a leader, I'm going to leave and I'm going to take my following of people with me. And now I get to be at the top of my pyramid. Now this guy ends up here. And now because he's a real leader, he's got a following, and so he's a strong leader, and he's going to now be the hierarchical leader in his new church. And you can guess what's going to happen next. There's another emerging leader here, and then he gets his following, and this guy says, no, you can't, and this guy says, yes, I can, and he ends up at the top of his pyramid. And so it keeps repeating. And this happens in many places, especially where you have very strong leaders who feel threatened by emerging leaders. It results in more churches. But it's not a very healthy way to start new churches, because it's really based on a conflict, and it's based on division. And so it's not a very positive testimony for Christ, quite frankly.
Have you benefited from our teaching ministry? Have you found TVS videos helpful and relevant? Please consider supporting us with your prayers and financial gifts. For more information, visit tvsseminary.com.
I believe that there, even where you have very strong leaders, what you need to do is have a flatter form of hierarchy that allows multiple places for emerging leaders to develop, and that is not so controlling, but is still under the leadership of that of the primary leader. And then if this emerging leader really shows gifts, why not send them out? Instead of waiting for a split, which is painful, why not send them out intentionally and allow that new leader to develop his church? Why don't we do that? Well, because this person wants to have a big church himself. And very often pastors view the status of their being a pastor on the size of their church. And they're afraid that if they give up members and send out leaders, that maybe that other person's church will become bigger than my church, and or, you know, my church will get smaller, I won't have as much status, we won't have as much income, and you know that. And that's a very human way of looking at things, and I want to challenge pastors who are thinking it that way. Is that a kingdom way to think? Think like the church of Antioch again. And the church in Antioch said, we've got a Paul and Barnabas. In fact, we are going to send out our best leaders to start the new church. That's a kingdom way to think. And if we're going to really reach our cities, our nations for Jesus Christ, if we're going to really reproduce healthy churches and not just splitting churches, and healthy forms of leadership, we've got to be thinking kingdom-minded and really empowering people and sending them out and not feeling threatened by emerging leaders.